Good morning, good people. I'm Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. And this morning, I'm joined in the studio by Tony Henson, who is the founder and executive director of the Atlanta Black Theater Festival. Tony, welcome again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I am always glad to have you because the Atlanta Black Theater Festival, in my opinion, is, you know, kind of a best kept secret or something, but it's such a wonderful opportunity if you consider yourself a theater head, you know, if you like drama, comedy, or musicals, it's all there.
That's so true.
Well, for our listeners who don't know, share with them what the Atlanta Black Theater Festival is and maybe just a little bit about how it came about.
Okay, wonderful. Well, it's funny that you mentioned it's our little secret because I think our secret is out because we were just listed among the top theater festivals to visit around the world. Yeah, I didn't say country. I said world by top10zilla.com. So that was an honor among the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, which is in Scotland, one that's in Moscow, another theater festival in New York, but there were only two in the United States mentioned, and that was the United Soul in New York City and the Atlanta Black Theater Festival. So, yeah.
Congratulations. That is wonderful.
So we're excited about that, but this is our seventh year. And I don't believe it's been that long, but we've been known for as the Festival of 40 plays in 4 days. And we actually do have 42 events on the schedule. So you can just OD on theatrical or artistic events through the entire time. We've added this year, which I'm excited about, the Authors Cafe, where we'll be featuring three authors from the area, and they'll be promoting and doing a book signing, and that's free. And there are a couple of other free events, but I think you asked me about how we got started. This was in 2012. I always tell my story. My story is on the website, and it's full disclosure. I was in another business. I've been a theater lover all of my life. Grew up in the backyard of Broadway in New Jersey and always loved theater, was enveloped in the arts and the world of art. And relocated to Atlanta, started a franchise. Nobody was making money in the franchise but the franchisor. So I ended up losing everything. And then when I say everything, I mean literally including my kids' college tuition. So that has always been the hurt, the most painful part of that journey. And ended up, after losing everything, despondent, just, you know, relationships with my family were just in a ruckus. And about 3 o'clock in the morning in August of 2011, I heard four words, and it was the Atlanta Black Theater Festival. And after that, it was so intuitive that I thought that it already existed. So I jumped out of bed and, you know, a serial entrepreneur, produced some theater in New Jersey as kind of like a hobby, a part-time thing. I jumped out of bed and I realized that it did not. And I immediately knew that it was a calling to tell our stories. So, at that point, I knew that I had to get going, and I wanted, and the ideas just started coming in the planning phases. And then I think you come to a point in your life, you realize that everything you've been through in your life was for this moment. And that's when I realized it as it started to come together. Recruited my sister who had recently been laid off from her state job because this was, you know, 2011, you know, recession.
Great recession going on.
So we were in dire straits financially, economically, politically. Trayvon Martin had just been assassinated. That just pushed that was the pain point, I think, that moved us forward into why we must tell our stories, because we recognized and realized at that time that it was a pinnacle point in our community where we not only did we have to change our image, but we had to change the way we thought about ourselves. And I there is no better way to change image and to move community forward than through the arts. So that was our catalyst and it was the platform from which we decided that there was a trajectory into what we were going to do. And I think anytime you have a mandate, you need a mission and you need a reason why. And that was it. That was our reason why, to start looking at the images, how we look at ourselves as well as how the outside community looks at us. And so we've got to tell our stories. Our stories are rich. They're textured. They're multifaceted. We are not monolithic. So hence the festival of 40 plays in 4 days. And we launched in October of 2012, and we had almost 300 artists and 3 stages at the 14th Street Playhouse, which is no longer the 14th Street Playhouse, and Lowe's Hotel. And those two were the connectors. And we had over 2,500 people in attendance that first year.
Which is amazing for an inaugural event.
It was
in a city like Atlanta with so much other things going on.
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, we had over 60% of the people in attendance were from out of state.
And I'm glad that that's changing. More and more people who are here, you know, in Atlanta. It's wonderful to be thought of as a top theater festival around the world. But it's even better when the folks at home know about you and support you even more.
Yes.
So I know that that has changed and Atlantans have embraced the festival and are participating.
Yes.
But let's get back to the 40 plays in 40 days.
4 days.
In 4 days. Yes. 40 plays in 4 days. If you had to choose one, and I know that is probably impossible because as I'm looking at the titles, I'm like this one. But if you had to choose one that people should not miss, what is the one that you think everyone should try to make it to?
Everything is good.
Okay.
You will not be disappointed. It really depends on what you like. And that's what I think the beauty of the festival is, because everybody that's coming in, the way we format it is, every play that's coming in is coming from around the world. So we have people, we have a play coming from Chile, we have a play coming from Canada, and then, of course, 18 states from the United States. This is the largest, I am proud to say that this is the festival with the best representation for Atlanta, Metro Atlanta folks that we've had to date. So you've got a lot of homegrown talent, playwrights that are self-producing in this festival as well. But they're all good. What I would say is don't pick a play, pick a day and decide which day you're going to come, show up early, and then just go until you can't go anymore. And I guarantee you, don't pick the last day because you will come back. We see that all the time. Oh, I was just planning to come and just see one thing. But you cannot just see one thing. It's addictive. And then there's such a warm spirit. I think that's the thing that I'm really proud about the festival, is it's like a family reunion. We all come together. You meet people. People are friendly. They're connecting. They're talking about. We have a cafe where you can hang out, sort of like a Starbucks type setup. You can get something to eat. You know, we love wings. We have fried fish Friday. Say that 3 times, right? Fried fish Friday. And so everything that you love to eat, people, there are vendors. Our vendors are absolutely amazing. People come back every year because they want to get a new piece, or because the vendors are extremely authentic and you won't see yourself. You know, you get that dress, you won't see it when you go out. It's just a lot of them are handmade. It's handmade wearable art. So that's what I call it. Fine art, if you need that picture to put on that perfect space. We've got Gilbert Young. I'm so excited. He's one of the artists that was commissioned to do a mural for the Super Bowl. So he's coming and you can meet him, and he will be unveiling his latest work called At the Feet of My Ancestors.
Oh my.
And that is giving me chill bumps because it's his work is just phenomenal. It's known all over, you know, he's done work. He's
worldwide.
Worldwide. He's been commissioned by President Obama and so many other people. So we're just so happy to have him as our featured artist this year.
Well, I do love that idea. Don't pick a play, pick a day.
Yes.
And it's going to be at the Porter Sanford Performing Arts Center. And the other thing I like about it is that there are plays on the main stage that are, you know, the large productions. And then you've got the smaller plays that are in the black box.
Yes.
But you all also do the staged readings.
Yes.
And if you haven't had an opportunity to do that, it is so invocative of story time. As you're saying, it's storytelling, but it's storytelling that's truly acted out. But it's the story because it's the reading. So you don't have a stage, you know, there's no production on a stage. There's no kitchen or no anything like that.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, it's all in the storytelling. And it just so gets my brain going because you can picture, you know, the things that the folks are talking. It's like being a kid again for me.
You know, you described it so well. It is actually our most popular event in the stage reading series. And we've got 12 or 13, I think, featured on the menu this year. And it's just, you just pick what you like. They're all intriguing. The playwrights are amazing. But I think the fun part is at the end when we do the talk back. When they have to, when you get a chance to get into the playwright's head and ask that question that you don't normally ask in a formal play setting. So you get to be patron and then theater critic at the end. So you can give her suggestions or him suggestions and a different direction. But that's what it's for. It's a part of the playwriting process so that playwrights can know, you know, are they laughing when I think they should laugh and all the other things that go into developing or mounting a show.
And that's another thing to me that I have always liked about theater is that it is not static. So, you know, the play that you see 10 years ago when there's a revival and a new production, there are going to be little twists and little tweaks and little twerks that were never in the original. You know, it's the same story, but you just get this other little flavor, so to speak. To me, that is the most fascinating thing about theater, is that theater lives and breathes. It isn't static like a book.
Exactly. Or a digital platform where you're going to get, yeah, the same thing over and over. And it's the experience is also because our community is so conditioned to call and response. And we love engaging live events. So that's another thing about, I think, that every audience creates its own unique aura in that space. So, of course, the black box is my favorite. That's the intimate one. And then you have the full-length performances on the main stage as well, which gives you that full theatrical experience if you prefer that. Or it's just a lot.
It is a wonderful event. I'm going to also talk about, because I'm coming back to moderate the town hall this year. So would you share just a little about what the town hall is and, you know, how that is a part of telling our stories as well?
Well, yes, absolutely. It's a celebration of theater. And we actually just talked about what makes theater so unique. Why is theater it just continues to thrive when, you know, funds dry up, theater still thrives. When people still want to go. It's the popularity of it. And then black theater and the uniqueness around the stories that are told within our community. Those are what I always say, they are American stories. They are true American stories told through the eyes and the experience of people from the diaspora. But so we're going to celebrate all of that day. So it's called the Town Hall Celebrate Theater, and we're going to do it with chicken and waffles because, you know, we love to eat. I do anyway. And it's a breakfast. It's on Thursday, October the Fourth, right. October the 4th at 9:30 a.m. So come out. If you're a theater lover, you need to be there. But there, I just have to say the tickets are like flying out. I think it's the chicken and waffles that's calling people and Kipling, of course. But I think there's like 20 tickets left. So if you're interested in that, you definitely want to get on the website and get your tickets early. There's an early bird rate, too. I think it ends this Saturday. I'm not sure, but check the website for that.
So that brings us right for our listeners who are interested. How do they get more information about the 40 plays in 4 days at the Atlanta Black Theater Festival? How do they purchase tickets? Can they purchase a day pass? You know, give us kind of what it's like to actually participate and attend.
One of the things that I think is important is that everything is affordable and accessible. So that is, there's a ticket for every price range. We have free events and you can just come hang out and go to some of the free events like the unveiling. But you have to register the Authors Cafe and then some of the other things that are free. You can get a pass. Passes are available as well. Those are a little bit on the higher end. We actually sold out of the VIP Black Card, which is the all access pass. But we do have some red, which is limited access, and gold passes. Individual tickets are also available for each event. The readings are only $7. So that's definitely affordable. You can bring the kids. And then there's family day on Saturday. So the tickets range from zero to $50 at this point. And you can go to the website and it's atlantabtf.org. That's Atlanta, B as in Black, T as in Theater, F as in Festival.org. Or you can just Google Atlanta Black Theater Festival and it'll surely come up on your webpage.
Just before we leave, I know you mentioned that this was a festival where we've got a lot of different playwrights from Atlanta and, you know, kind of more Atlanta-based where, again, I have seen plays from throughout the diaspora, plays from Africa, plays from the Broadway play with all of the women from last year, 2 years ago, came to Atlanta.
Oh, Eclipsed by Danai Gurira.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. That was so good.
Yeah, it was.
And it was all women actors. But that had come from Broadway.
Off-Broadway. Yes. Well, the playwright was, it was a Broadway production, and then we reproduced it here in Atlanta, and at the festival. Yes.
So,
it was amazing.
Again, these plays that are from all over the world. But this time, one of the plays from our Atlanta's own Pearl Klieg is the NASA Rema Society. That is such a good story.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. And so that's going to be on the main stage. I've got to give a shout out to Pearl Klieg and our local Atlanta playwright there. This is going to be so much fun. I am just looking, and like you said, I cannot look at the list of shows and pick one. I'm picking like two or three on the main stage, two or three on the black box, two or three on the suggested readings. So it really is an opportunity to come out and be a theater head, so to speak, and just get lost in the stage.
Yes.
And it is, you can get your tickets at Eventbrite at abtf.eventbrite.com. And you can find more information at atlantabtf.com.
.org or .com. Actually, we own both. So, yeah.
AtlantaBTF.org.
Yes.
Tony, this is such a wonderful undertaking. And
we need to tell people when it is. I don't think we mentioned that. It's the first weekend in October. And it's every year, the first weekend in October. That's Columbus, also known as Indigenous Peoples Weekend. So,
it's October 3rd through 6th at the Porter Sanford Performing Arts and Community Center. And again, Atlanta. BTF.org. Tony, thank you so much for coming and sharing this information. The unveiling of Gilbert Young, one of our fine artists, all of the different playwrights and performers that are coming together for 40 plays in 4 days. Top theater festival to visit around the world, our own Atlanta Black Theater Festival. Thank you so much.
Thank you.